After serving for 4 years as the Army's top officer, Odierno will relinquish his post on Friday, turning the service over to General Mark Milley. In his final press conference as Chief of Staff, he told reporters Wednesday that he's leaving a service whose future is still a source of great concern to him, even after having ridden out the worst effects of budget cutting during sequestration. The Army, he says, is being asked to do more and more, even as it's being forced to get smaller, and its modernization budget is under constant pressure.
The problem we have today is we have a dynamic environment where we have increasing requirements on our military, while we continue to have decreasing resources in our military. And this is of great concern to me personally as we continue to move forward. And what I worry about is we are sacrificing our long-term viability of our military to meet current environmental and requirements. What do I mean by that? I mean, I worry about decreasing readiness over time. I worry about reduced modernization in our force, and the impact that might have 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. Because many of the problems are going to be persistent problems. They are not ones that will be solved overnight.
The problems Odierno's worried about include ongoing Shia-Sunni conflict in the Middle East, the rise of the Islamic State, a Russian military with increasing capabilities and willingness to use them, and provocative Chinese actions in the Pacific. The Army has refined some of its readiness models over the past year and a half in an effort to make sure its forces can quickly deploy to emergencies as they're needed, but Odierno says it's barely gotten started on training its forces to be ready for multidimensional conflicts, as opposed to the counterinsurgency missions it's been focused on in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We have really started to train for what we call a hybrid warfare, which is actually the warfare that I consider Russia is in fact conducting. We are doing about 10 brigade rotations at our training center this year. We did about 8 last year. That was specifically focused on this. So we are in the process of increasing our capabilities to do this. And I mean, we came off of 10 years of doing counterinsurgency operations, and what we've had to do is very different. And that goes back to my worry about dollars, because what we need is we need the dollars in order for us to continue to train and build capability. We've been doing that for a year and a half now. But if all of a sudden sequestration comes back in 16, that will have an impact on that. And that's one of the concerns I have. But we have been there. We're not where we need to be. I think I'd say we got about 33% of our brigades right now who can operate at that level. And we need to, my goal is we should have about 60%, and that's what we're working towards. Next couple years. I don't want to give a date on it.
Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Army felt compelled to devote more attention to Eastern Europe, including Baltic nations who are now members of NATO. And Odierno says the character of NATO exercises have changed over the past year. The Army, he says, is still learning what it means to be ready for a potential conflict on the European continent.
The last time we were doing this in Europe, I remind everybody that our job was to protect Western Europe. So one of the things we've learned is the logistical challenges that we have in Eastern Europe. For example, Eastern Europe has a different gauge railroad than Western Europe does. So moving supplies is more difficult. So we're learning great lessons like that. You know, our ability to sustain ourselves over time, our interoperability and the capabilities that NATO now has and how we have to better integrate those is another lesson. We're using our readiness center that we have in Grafenwöhrhohenfels to do that. We have a large exercise going on there right now with our partners to continue to work this problem.
Odierno has said several times before that he's worried about the service's current downsizing plan in light of recent world events, but he said Wednesday that his successors should make sure they hold the line at no less than the current plan, 450,000 soldiers by 2017. Asked how he would spend additional funds if the Army got a sudden plus-up from Congress, he said he'd invest them immediately on additional training and modernization of the service's equipment.
I think for the first time, I would tell you, because of the new Army operating concept, the warfighting challenge we looked at, for the first time, we absolutely have a good understanding of what we need. And for us, it's about lethality protection, situational awareness. And so we're looking at developing mobile protective firepower for our light units, our medium units, our heavy units, continuing to increase our ability to have situational awareness and pass information quickly. And we have programs in place to do that, but we have to continue to push on those programs. And I think those are the ones, for me, that are the most important. And we also have to continue to work manned-unmanned capability, autonomous capability, All of those things are going to be very important to us as we move to the future.
Odierno also admonished future leaders that they need to pay continued attention to the effects of more than a decade of continuous deployments on the soldiers who are still serving, including their families.
And it's not only about the soldiers, it's about their caregivers as well, and the sacrifice that their caregivers make in assuring that these soldiers are able to live a long, viable life, and the sacrifice they have to make. And we have to make sure that we provide them the resources necessary. So there's a couple things. I think first, we have to, as a military, have to be cognizant of that and do everything we can. We need a strong Veterans Affairs that continues to support them. And we also have to ease the restrictions that we have on using those organizations, the private organizations that are out there helping our soldiers. We're much better than we were 5 years ago at this, where we're able to combine private enterprise, who's trying to help our wounded warriors, with formal Department of Defense programs, with Veterans Affairs programs, so we come together and make sure we can combine all of those resources to make sure we're taking care of these young men and women long term. And we're getting better. We've had some relaxation of those restrictions that we had, but I think we have to continue to watch it. I worry about long-term PTS. I think that's a long-term problem. I worry about our senior leaders that we have. You know, we were talking yesterday in my office. So in 2003, someone who was a captain is now a colonel or a brigadier general. They have probably had 6 or 7 deployments. We tend not to talk about our leaders. We have NCOs who were probably sergeants or privates back then who are now sergeant first classes, master sergeant, sergeant majors, who've had 6, 7, 8 deployments. They're doing well, but we have to make sure we have programs in place to take care of them as well as they continue to lead our great soul. So it's things like that that we can't forget.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.